this morning as we begin the Lord's Supper talk this morning. And I want you to think seriously about this question. And we're going to revert back to this question as we go through the short lesson I've got prepared today. If you had one meal left, what would that meal be? What would it consist of? And what would you want for your last meal? Think about that. Some of us might say, well, I want an appetizer, I want a dinner, I want a steak, I want some fish. Of course, I got to have some dessert and a special drink. We're going to be looking today at one of the greatest events in history called the Last Supper. And if you've got your Bibles or your phones and you want to follow along, we're going to be using Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 28 as a reference for our text this morning. But as we go through this short lesson, I ask you to think, what would you want your last meal to be? You know, you've got one meal. It's your last one you're going to have on this earth. What would it be? All right, we're going to begin reading in verse 17. Now, today I'm going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to go ahead and read the whole text first. We're going to read 11 verses, and then I'm going to step back and make some observations on this text here this morning. All right, let's begin in verse 17. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparation for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' And Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Now, these last 11 verses, we have looked at Jesus' last supper, his last meal on this earth. And unlike a lot of us, myself included, if I were to pick a last meal, it would be very complicated and have a lot to it, right? We would want a lot. Jesus wasn't like that. He was very simple. He was very basic. He was very easy to understand, and he gives us directions in this last meal of how we are to remember him when we are focusing on this Last Supper. This is what we call as Christians our time of communion. So I want to bring out five facts today about this Last Supper, this last communion that Jesus and his disciples mentioned, and then the lesson will be yours here this morning. All right, number one, the meal was very simple. Very simple. Bread and the fruit of the vine. A lot of times what you see referred to in Scripture as wine. Nothing else. Two items. And when we come together this morning, what do we focus on? We focus on two simple items. The bread, the unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine. Jesus gives us very simple instructions. Jesus was very, very basic. I'll never forget a few years ago, I had probably one of my favorite professors. And you guys hear this a lot of times. Maybe you've had a teacher who's impacted you. But he used to say, he used what was called the KISS method. Keep it short and simple. Jesus keeps it short and simple. He shows us what our meal and our fellowship with him should be like by using these two simple things. Number two, this event is going to be foretold. And as I researched and did a little bit of preparation for this morning, this was really interesting to me. Now, I'm going to throw a name to you here, and we're not going to have time today to go into a whole lot of details about this guy, but you can kind of think along yourself. How many of you guys in here have ever heard of a guy by the name of Melchizedek? Okay, so Melchizedek is mentioned three times in three books of the Bible. He's mentioned in Genesis, he's mentioned in the book of Psalms, and he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. Now, number two, as I just mentioned, this is foretold. Melchizedek in the book of Genesis models this Last Supper for us, and I'm going to share this with you. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 14, verse 18 through 20. And I'll read that for you. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, who goes on to later be renamed Abraham, saying to him, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything that he had. So here he models for us. He brings out the bread and the wine. He goes on to encourage the giving of one-tenth, which we do after our communion time here in just a few minutes. So it's foretold. Jesus gives us a snapshot of things to come right in the Bible. We read, we should be expecting these things. And a lot of time, myself included, right, we question. But he tells us, it's coming. I'm giving you an example, kind of like a movie trailer, right? We see a little piece, little snips, and we get excited for this. This should have gotten people excited. Reason number three, it's very important in history. So much that in the year 1495, which you see behind me, one of history's probably most important and well-remembered people, a guy by the name of Leonardo da Vinci, painted the Last Supper. Now, Leonardo da Vinci, this took him about 3 years to make this painting. About 3 years. He worked on it from about 1495 to 1497 in the city of Milan, Italy. Now, it's kind of interesting to me. The Last Supper is going to be, you know, a lot of people, we think of photos. We think of maybe like an 8x10 or 12x16. This photo is going to be 15 by 29 feet. And in this photo, Leonardo is going to go on, and he's going to group the disciples into groups of three, which a lot of historians say this is supposed to represent what we call the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, it also, and I know this may be a little hard to see, you see kind of all of the conversations, and there's really a lot of detail in this photo. Leonardo's goal was to show the reaction to Jesus making these claims, right, against Peter and against Judas. And you can just kind of see them in the photos, right? Can you imagine them all talking? And there you see at the center is Jesus with the bread and the wine in this photo. Now, this photo is so important to even this day, it is one of the most visited tourist attractions in this region of the world. You actually have to have a reservation, and they only allow between 15 to 20 people in at a time. When you get in to see this photo, you have 15 minutes, and then they bring in the next group. And here we are 2,000 years after this event, right? And it is still this focused upon in this time period. Another question I always ask myself, Leonardo wasn't a big believer in Christianity. If you guys go back to the late 1400s, Leonardo and a guy by the name of Michelangelo were antagonists of each other. Michelangelo was a big Christian. Leonardo wasn't, but I always ask the question when I teach this in my world history class, I wonder what caused Leonardo to be so curious about Jesus and about this Last Supper. He's going to spend 3 years of his life drawing and detailing this great event in history. Number four, Jesus predicts Peter's denial at this Last Supper. So here we are, we're at the table. Jesus is at the table. He predicts Peter's denial. He also predicts Judas' betrayal. probably weren't expecting that, those two guys, right? In our society, kids a lot of times use the phrase getting called out, right? They're getting, this isn't happening to me, Lord. I'm not going to do this. Then number five, Jesus rebukes his disciples. If I were to pull you guys in here, a lot of you guys, myself included, we don't like sometimes to be rebuked, to be corrected. But Jesus is spending his last few minutes, his last few moments on this earth, teaching his disciples, correcting his disciples, explaining to them what they need to do and where their focus needs to be. And this brings me back to this last meal. We should spend our moments when we're in here, 15 minutes, however long it ends up being, are we focusing on Jesus, the sacrifice that he made on our behalf? And I don't know about you guys, I could raise my hand, I would be as guilty as anyone when we come to this time of communion. We just kind of want to get done, move on, and not focus on Jesus. And I challenge you guys on these thoughts this morning. As we enter this new year, when we enter this time of communion, focus on Jesus. Focus on his last moments on this earth. I got three questions to ask of you this morning, and then the partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Question number one, how do you treat the Lord's Supper? How do you treat the Lord's Supper? If you were one of the 12 that got invited to this last feast with Jesus, how would you treat that? Would you be excited? Would you want to maybe communicate with Jesus? Have you guys ever been to a dinner, right? You're maybe going to a birthday party and you have the person there who everybody's celebrating. You always want to talk to that person, right? You always want to tell them hello, tell them happy birthday or whatever you're doing. Can you imagine the 12 disciples all wanting to get a moment with Jesus? So we have a chance right now to fellowship with Jesus. Question number two, are you communing with Jesus? We have this opportunity every week to commune with Jesus, to partake of this Last Supper with Jesus. And then question number three, are you genuinely thankful for Jesus' sacrifice? Not long after this meal, Jesus is going to be taken out. He's going to be nailed up on that cross, and he's going to be sacrificed for all of us in here, for all of mankind. Are you genuinely thankful for his sacrifice? That's the question I ask you this morning as we enter this time of reflection on this Last Supper, this communion time we get to spend with Jesus. All right, if the men that are serving would come forward.